Hi everyone, it's Roger and Matt here, founder of This Kingdom Podcast. In this week's episode, we're going to be talking about the brand new Star Wars game, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, which was just revealed, all the gameplay, literally about an hour before we recorded. So we've literally just watched it, and because we've got the big E3 event taking place this coming week ahead. We'll also be talking about National Geographic and some new toys and Lego that got announced, and how we think National Geographic might kind of interplay a bit more now with Disney, especially through products such as this. We'll also be talking about the new villains event over at Walt Disney World. And as I threw in the Jedi Fallen Order one, we're going to have a bonus one this week. And we're also going to be talking about the D23 Expo, the new presentations that they've announced. Okay, so let's jump into the first big story of the week that I wanted to kind of cover. And it's just happened, was the gameplay reveal of the new EA video game from the Respawn team, Jedi Fallen Order. It was just shown during EA Play. We had Greg Miller sort of presenting an event. Supposed to have Andrew Renee there, but she unfortunately had to have emergency surgery just 2 days ago, so she was supposed to be there to present it, but she unfortunately couldn't make it. So they had that gameplay reveal, and so first off, my initial thoughts, it was 15 minutes. That was a great presentation to show off. Personally, I watched this. It had everything I would want out of a Star Wars game. It was single player. It's running around. You're killing things with lightsabers. You're climbing off walls. You're jumping around. You're swinging across, stopping lightsabers, hitting things, blasting, deflecting. This is what I want from a video game. This is going to be a straight up. Going to be picking it up. It's out November the 15th on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Don't know if it's on PC as well. It probably is there as well. Yeah, most likely to be. I thought it looks great. I will be honest, though. It didn't blow me away. And I think that's been the one criticism I've seen quite a little bit, of that it's very, very, very generic. There's nothing that was coming out that was too exciting or different. It definitely feels like this is the end of this genesis. But on the same side, this is that kind of cross between a Uncharted and also like Tomb Raider, and also probably even the Force Unleashed games. I love all that stuff. That's the kind of game I like to play. So I'm in. This sold me on it. This is exactly what I want. It's not going to break any new ground. It's not going to do anything different. But it's not a microtransaction live service game. It's a single player with a story. Exactly what I want. But what did you think of it, Matt?
I only thought it was really slow. I get it's really Force Unleashed with all the stormtroopers. The thing that really stood out to me was the fact that you can fight creatures. They had those spider creatures from the Star Wars Rebel cartoon. Mm. And especially that little droid that was on the Jedi's shoulder. That thing is cute.
Yeah, that thing actually, it reminded me a little bit of Astro Bot, the VR PlayStation game. That looked pretty cool. It just really caught my attention of there's a lot of little nods in there. There was little nods to the clone troopers. We also had some content from Rogue One. So we had Saw Gerrera was in there. We also had not necessarily K2SO, but another droid of that same type.
The same type.
Yeah.
This one was female.
Yeah, this one was female, and she basically kicked his butt at the end of it. And then it kind of went. There's going to be more reveals during Xbox's conference on Sunday night. I'm really excited about the Xbox conference because I think that's going to be the big one to play. So I'm glad there's going to be a little bit more there.
Yeah, especially considering Sony's not going to be there. Someone has to be the big man of the E3s.
Yes.
Because basically Square Enix is the rookie and Nintendo's the one that does whatever it wants. Yeah. While trying to be like the others.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We'll be going through some of the other bits and pieces next week after it's all gone through, because we know we're going to see seeing some new Marvel games during the Nintendo, and probably also a little bit of Disney Zum Zum. We're also expecting to see a lot during the Square Enix show of the new Avengers game. But this Jedi Fallen Order one, I it's a kind of weird thing of it. Looking at it and going, doesn't excite me, but I know that it's that kind of thing of, it's exactly what I want, and I think that it's very safe, and I think after EA have made a mess of the last two games of Battlefront 2 and Battlefront, and the way they've handled the EA license, this is very safe. It's definitely going to get people's attention to it. I think it's going to sell very well. I think it's going to do it. It's like you say, it's a bit slow, a bit plodding, but I kind of it's that kind of, I was watching this and going, this is the game for me. This is perfectly made for the type of game I like to play. I love this kind of experience game. And yeah, this is something I've been missing for so long.
Internet, so I can't really do that many multiplayer games. Mm. So a single player offline game is perfect, especially for EA, who rarely does anymore, because all of our sports games require online, all of our competitive games require online, even their new RPGs require online to some extent, like Dragon Age and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I get what they're doing, and I understand all of this thing, but I think this felt like a little bit along the lines of the reaction to what happened with Star Wars Battlefront, because it was a few years ago now. I think this game was in development a long time with that, but I think this was a definite kind of, yes, we know, because I think if they didn't get a good hit out of Star Wars with this game, their whole deal with Disney was at risk.
Made sense. A lot of the EA Star Wars game keep getting canceled all the time. It's relieving to see one actually being properly shown off and not just canceled out of nowhere.
Mm. I'm really looking forward to this. This feels like this year might be actually a good year for us between Kingdom Hearts 3 and this one. Great. If I also throw in the Ultimate Alliance 3 on the Switch. I'm not too sure quite where Avengers is going to hit, whether or not that's going to be a full game. I don't know, but I really like the look of it. I am interested in it. I'm going to get it day one. I'm hoping then in the date that it comes out is interesting on the one side, because it's the 15th of November. It's about a week before I go on vacation. So I'm going to try and get some of it in. I know I'm not going to finish before my vacation. We've also got the other big issue of that week. Disney Plus launches. There's literally 3 days before it.
Mandalorian funds.
Yes. So I'm going to be, so obviously with what's on Disney Plus, I'm expecting to have a very busy week in that few weeks ahead of it. So I'm looking forward to it.
In Canada on that day or not.
It's probably gonna be a game I'll get back off vacation at the beginning of December, and that will set me through till Christmas till I get something new. But it looks great. I can't wait to play it. It's exactly what I want from a game. But I'd love to know what you guys think of Star Wars Fallen Order or Jedi Fallen Order in the comments below. Okay, let's shift gears now on to speaking of Disney Plus, let's move on to the D23 Expo, which is taking place in late August in Anaheim, California. It's going to be taking place, I think it's the 23rd and 24th. And they have announced some new details of some of the presentations that are going to be coming there. So first off, I'm just going through the official reveals. So we've got the Disney Legends Award Ceremony, which is taking place 10:30 on Friday, which is being hosted by Bob Iger. And this year's recipients are Wing Chow, Robert Downey Jr., John Farnhough, James Earl Jones, Bette Midler, Kenny Ortega, Barnett Ritchie, Robin Roberts, Diane Sawyer, Ming-Neng Wang, and also Han Sima. So a nice collection of people there.
Two or three more, because they like to tend to add in some surprises here and there.
Yeah, so that one looks pretty cool. So that's going to take place on the Friday in the D23 event hall, which holds about just under 7,000 people. Then on the Friday afternoon, we're going to get the Disney Plus streaming service. So that's going to be including Lady and the Tramp, The Mandalorian, High School Musical. The one thing that is what's annoying me with that on there is the timing. 3:30 p.m., not so good for us Brits. That's I'm literally the middle of the night, and so that's not great. I'm hoping that these trailers do at least get released outside of them, unlike what we saw at Star Wars Celebration. So we've got Lady and the Tramp, Mandalorian, and also High School Musical, the musical, and there's also going to be much more during this Star Study presentation. This is a big time for them to kind of push it off, really.
Yeah, for sure. And also the big thing that I'm worried about is, well, D23 rarely does live streams. You only do it for the theme park panel and for the movie panel. This year, the movie panel is going to be all of them. Before, it used to be Pixar, live action, and animation.
Yeah.
And now it's all going to be on one big panel now.
Yeah, so that probably means that it's probably going to be a little bit tighter. There is going to be some presentations. There is going to be some bits and pieces they can place. I just realized my background's fallen down. And fortunately, I've lost my main camera this week, so I haven't used the backup one.
And headphones on.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing of, I really feel like this presentation, they need to start in using these live streams as a way of incorporating people from outside of the area. I know they want people to go to the event. People will do that anyway, but well, I think they really need to like activate it.
Last year, 2 years ago, they also streamed the games panel. I'm not sure if we're gonna do it this year.
Yeah. I don't think there's even gonna be a games panel.
I doubt they're gonna do anything for Kingdom Hearts at D23 like last time.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing going forward, really, of what they're going to do about it and just moving forward with how they are just with video games as a general. They just generally are really, really tricky about what they do with video games. And that's ultimately the biggest problem is I think they just need to upgrade. You know, they do it for Marvel. They do it for Star Wars Celebration. They just should live stream it, get the attention going, and really push forward on the idea of having live streams. I just wish they'd announced it a little bit more beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be taking place on the Saturday at 10 a.m., so that's nice and early in the morning. And then on the Sunday, we're going to be seeing the Disney Parks experiences and products with Bob Chapek. He's going to be doing it, showing us lots of details about Epcot. That seems to be the main one.
Epcot and other changes at Disney World.
Yeah.
Like mainly for the 50th from what he's teasing.
And you know, it's kind of weird because you're going to California to make a load of announcements about Epcot. That's kind of strange. I am expecting a massive, massive upgrade to Epcot. I mean, I'm thinking...
It needs it.
Yeah.
Future World is... basically that part of Epcot you rush through because all you want to do is World Showcase.
Yeah, well, we always go in there and we spend a few hours there. We do Test Track. We do it all.
It's only the land. I go to Garden Grill, Soaring, Living the Land, and then I move on to World Showcase.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just bits and pieces there. I always tend to go on Figment as well just because I love that little ride. But yeah, it just seems a little bit strange that they very much pulled out Epcot. I think almost in some ways to start getting people prepared for the idea that something big's coming. You know, we know Guardians of the Galaxy is coming. We know
a big $2 billion remodel like they did with California Adventure.
Yeah. Rumors are obviously that Brazil is getting a area. There's also rumors that the land and also I think the Journey into Imagination building. Was it? No, sorry, the Seas.
No, it was the Seas. That one got debunked by Disney.
Yeah,
the day after, because that certain website only did it for clickbait.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they do something. I wouldn't be surprised if they gutted them. Maybe keep the buildings inside, but
it'd be problematic because they would have to move all of those fish, and they don't really have a place for fish at Disney World.
No, sell them to SeaWorld. I'm sure they'll find somewhere to put them. You know, use them at California Grill. You know, just kidding. it's just
all of the fish lovers.
It's just one of those situations. I think, as a whole, keeping animals in enclosures is not suitable for now. So I can see that's a big area, a big empty space that they could do something with. The Little Mermaid ride, the Journey of something like. Doing the Little Mermaid ride, but the Finding Nemo ride, it's not exactly the most amazing ride. I could see the Seas going a lot easier than the...
There's no line.
No. Well, I don't know. Last time we went, it was pretty busy. And also the land, Soarin', yeah, amazing. I love Soarin', but...
And they're adding a new movie.
Yeah. And going around on the boat around the land is... It's just not going to work. I think there's going to be some major upgrades to that whole area.
Well, it's because they get all that food and they put in all the restaurants at Epcot, so it's pretty important.
Yeah, I just feel like that kind of, that's a lot of real estate to just be giving away to growing food. And I don't think they're producing enough food in there to feed everyone. I think it's just topping up on the top. I don't know. It's just me as a cynic. I'm looking at this going, if they are going to do it, they need to go in hard, because obviously Guardians of the Galaxy is not getting a little area to itself. It's just gonna be its own little ride. Test track
is of life is just gonna be like, here, dump your kids while you do all the thrill rides around.
Yeah, I don't know. So hopefully we'll find out a little bit more, happy with the time zone for that one. And the movie shows, they're both at like 10 o'clock in the morning. So that means then that pretty much the rest of the world, for everyone can kind of see it a little bit better, especially on the weekend. But Disney Plus, 3 o'clock, that kind of means it's going to be evening East Coast time. I was just thinking like there, it's like, is that 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11? Might be all right. It's going to be a late night for me, but it might be 11, 12 o'clock at night. So it's going to be a bit of a late one. But I'm definitely going to be putting that into my calendar to be doing that one. I might be holding. But it's just interesting to see what they're doing. And as a whole, I think D23 Expo, these events should be great. I just wish they'd live stream in for us that aren't there. Because
yeah, they're just going to be refreshing on Twitter over and over and over.
Yeah, I know. I have sat through many presentations through things like Periscope and Facebook Live. It really depends on how strict they are. They're more strict usually during the movie ones because of showing off footage.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas the park ones are usually the easiest ones to kind of get through. Yeah. Again, we're not really seeing much like
the theme park and the games one are easy to get.
Yeah, I don't think they'll even do a games event this year because they'll do some individual stands and stuff. There's a lot of games out, but I just don't feel like they're just letting every company deal with their own bits and pieces, like as just true. Before we recorded with EA. So what do you guys think of the D23 Expo lineup? Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Okay, so moving on to our next topic was National Geographic. This past week, they announced that they have released, or they're coming up with, some new Lego sets for National Geographic kids. It's all based around sea life. There's like little ones about turtles, and they're going to be out in July. I think they're actually, for some reason, they're out here a little bit earlier, and they're also going to be doing bits and pieces with like promoting nature. And the first thing I saw of when I thought this was like, oh, okay, well, Disney were quick on this. And then I thought, nope, if they're already out here on even if they're out at the beginning of July, there's no way Disney managed to get these made and set up and pushed out. This had to be done before the
purchase.
Yeah, this was definitely done before the purchase of 21st Century Fox. But it also says to me, this is what we're going to start seeing a lot more of. National Geographic is about, and especially National Geographic Kids, I don't even know if Disney will keep on too much with the kids. They might keep it a bit separate.
Well,
but I think we're definitely, yeah, we'll have to see. But I think we're going to see a lot more of this. We're going to start seeing this creeping it into the parks. We're going to start seeing it. I'm surprised we've not already seen stuff propping up on shopdisney.com, but there could be a reason for that, because if there's a contract with for National Geographic, this is kind of the thing really with, there's existing contracts in place, and I think we're going to see a lot more of this. Obviously, it's very difficult. It's not like they can make a lot of like Funko Pops out of things, but you know, they could make things out of their new TV shows, like the Hot Zone, if they think it's actually going. But yeah, Lego. This was a really kind of like, yeah, we're going to start seeing this. We've been seeing it a lot with how they're putting out at this recent event, a licensing fair. They had some banners up. I saw some things on Twitter. Yeah, the licensing expo, they had banners up with like, you know, Marvel, Toy Story, and then they had Simpsons, and then they had National Geographic, and they are pretty much going on the license hunt. They are going to be out there signing new contracts, and I think we're going to see a lot more stuff and a lot more consolidation, because currently like National Geographic books are made by a different team, so I suspect that'll be pushed in with their standard publishing house, toys, etc. Once those deals all expire, we'll start seeing a lot more of this. So now let's have a quick look here at what those sets look like. So I'm going to be putting up some images here within the video and stuff, but they just look quite interesting. The only thing that got me was the fact that they were Lego Friends. They definitely looked a little bit odd.
Well, it's like a CG, almost Disney-ish design. That's what he's been doing with Lego Friends, and the shorts even air on the Disney YouTube channel for years.
Yeah, they just it just looks very, very cool. And I think we're going to see a lot more of this. And I'm very interested to see what they do with the National Geographic brand. It's quite odd at the minute because whenever I put up stories either on Disney Kingdom or on what's on Disney Plus, National Geographic kind of is a little bit of a lukewarm kind of subject. Hasn't really clicked in. I think there's a lot of people that aren't really kind of aware of it, maybe quite as much, and it's not feeling it's Disney. But I think it's going to become like the Marvel and Star Wars. Maybe in 5 years' time, people will be much more interested in it and kind of pushing forward. It's also interesting to see like Freeform promoting it and show on National Geographic, and you're getting, I mean, the promotion for Dark Phoenix has been very interesting as well, with how they've been pushing that out. Just think we're going to start getting used to it. But nevertheless, let us know in the comments below what you guys think of National Geographic and some of the upcoming stuff coming from them. Okay, we're going to move now on to our final topic of the week, which is the Villains event that's taking place over at Walt Disney World. So this is a special event that is going to be taking place, bringing up the information here, at Walt Disney World Villains After Hours. And why don't they ever put the dates straight in here?
Who knows?
No, it's... Yeah, they went to the...
It started last night.
Did it start last night?
It's until August.
All right. So during this event, you get the Villains Unite Under the... Villains Unite Under the Night stage show, which features Hades and Meg.
It's Hades and Meg. They're trying to prepare for the big Five Planets Aligning prophecy, and then other Disney villains show up. Like, there's Jafar, there's the Wicked Queen, Maleficent, and Dr. Facilier, and they're all arguing over who should get the powers from the prophecy.
Right, so hold on. How did you... Because I can never pronounce that guy's name. Dr. Facilier. I always want to say...
It's Facilier. It's French.
Yeah, that's probably what
it's I... basically say facile. That's easy in French. Facilier.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, my GCSE in French was a long time ago, and I was reading that like facilitator kind of thing. But nevertheless, so even though I've seen the movie, it just...
They have all the voice actors back for this, except I think James Woods. I'm not sure if it's him, because it sounds close, but you can tell something is a bit off. Maybe it's just Woods just didn't feel it that day or something, or it's just somebody else.
Yeah, they might not have wanted him on because they're quite he's quite opinionated at the minute on Twitter.
So and yet he's still in Kingdom Hearts 3, so I think Disney has no choice but to let him continue, because their contract states that they have to ask the original performer first.
Yeah. So who knows? It's going to be interesting to see where they go with that one. We've also got Maleficent the Dragon is in there, firing out fire.
Hopefully it looks good at night.
Yeah, hopefully they don't set fire to it. We've also got a dance DJ party. There's also some...
Basically, it's after the stage show, it's just like a bunch of random songs.
Yeah, we also got some villain-inspired additions to Pirates of the Caribbean and Space Mountain. Because it's a ticket an event, wait times are low for more than 20 attractions. Mm-hmm. There's also a number of good... There's food and beverages and special merchandise and desserts, etc. You also get free ice cream novelties, popcorns, and select bottled beverages, including the cost of admission. And as I said, there's exclusive event merchandise. And there's also special photo shoots. It is priced at $139 plus tax in advance. It's
basically the Halloween party without the Halloween.
Yeah, and $144 plus tax on the event night.
It's crazy.
Annual pass holders and Disney Vacation Club gets $30 discounts, and I can buy tickets for $109. Obviously, they're taking place right now. I'm just going to bring up dates on here while we're looking. And I'll be honest, I think for that price, I'd probably do it once. If I was there on vacation now and it was there, I'd probably do it because I'd want to see something different and do something.
I would just film the stage show, because I'm going to be honest, the worst thing about this is there is no villains meet and greets at all.
No.
The only time you see the characters is at the stage show and at the end of the day when they're at the train station wishing everybody goodbye. That's it.
Yeah, it's a bit of an odd one. So the event is taking place Thursday, the 6th of June, 13th of June, 20th of June, 27th of June. So pretty much once a week. And then it's the same through July. So 1st, 11th, 18th, 25th, and then August 1st, August 8th. So like I said, it kind of does feel a little bit like a Halloween party in sort of the summer.
Yeah, especially because the villain's event, when it ends, it transitions right into the Halloween party.
Yeah, that, yeah, I barely feel like we've even got going into summer yet, and they're already kind of revving up for Christmas and Halloween. Mm-hmm. I think this is good. I think doing it once a week is actually not a bad thing, because it's not like it's happening constantly, and if you're there on vacation and you've got to be kicked out
one
night.
You don't want it ruining your only time to go like on Pirates, and then you go on Pirates and suddenly you see a live actor as Captain Barbossa just walking around on the ride, and Space Mountain just has, I'm going to be honest, the Space Mountain music they added is just basically like ambience villain music. It's not even like memorable scores or anything. It's just like very bland horror movie music with some quotes of Disney villains here and there. It's poorly done, to be honest.
I don't know. I mean, I like the idea of doing the Hyperspace Mountain one. That I'd probably do it, because anything to kind of make it look a little bit different. And if you've got a short wait time, that's not a bad thing. I think I would do it again. I think I would do it as a one-off. If I was there for 2 weeks, it'd be like, oh yeah, we'll go do that. The price does put it off. I mean, that's, you know, if it's, the thing is, like, when we go out there, for example, we would end up usually having Disney, we can get like a 2 week pass for Disney for the price of like 5-6 days or even a 3 week pass. The Brits tend to get looked after quite well, because we tend to go out for weeks and they want us to keep going in. So therefore it would be there. But whether or not I take a family of, you know, 4, 5, 6 in, that's a bit more, you know, suddenly then it's $1,000 night out. For one or two of you, it's a nice evening. So I don't know. It'll be interesting what the reviews are like for it. So if you are going, let us know what you think in the comments below. But that pretty much wraps up this week's episode of the Disney Kingdom podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back hopefully next week with another episode. And if you've got any suggestions on what you want us to be talking about, feel free to do so. Remember to subscribe, like, follow. Matt, where can they find you?
They can find me on YouTube on Matthew LeBlanc. It's just my normal YouTube channel where I do travel vlogs, and that's about it.
Yeah. And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.